When the mind is right, the actions are right. You are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. Sir Francis Bacon was asked what he thought of the outlook was for the next generation. And he declared, "Tell me what the young people are thinking and I'll tell you." Doesn't look good, does it? If he's right, it doesn't look good. Because young people that were brought up in a Baptist church with Baptist parents don't go to church no more. But one thing you can remember as we get in today's message: thoughts produce actions, actions produce habits, and habits produce lifestyles. One of my favorite sayings. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, "Behind every human tragedy, there's a slow process of evil, wicked thinking. No one ever falls into sin." You may disagree with that statement, but I happen to believe it 100%. You don't just fall into sin. But one thing I do know is I wrote these down, well, sometime this morning. I probably said them here before. It doesn't bother me a bit. But thoughts produce actions, actions produce habits, and habits produce lifestyle. Somebody asked me, "How long you been going to church?" Long time. When you put what you put into the computer comes out. Put in 48 hours of television a week and you have someone who acts, talks, and thinks like television personalities. Put in 30 hours of rebellious radio music per week and you'll have someone who has the philosophies and rebellions that like the groups they hear. My question as we start this message: what have you been programming into your computer? This is your computer. You're transformed by your thoughts. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Paul said, "I beseech you, brethren, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that he presents your bodies a living sacrifice." We hear people say, "I die for what I believe." I don't want you to die for what you believe. I want you to live what you believe. And I'm a little narrow-minded. I believe we do. I really do. I believe that we live the way we really believe. Paul said that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. We're more worried about, does our neighbor, does somebody at church, does somebody I know, do they like me? Well, if you really want to know whether they like you or not, start preaching the gospel to them. That relationship will get closer or they will cease. God said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by" what? "The renewing of your mind." What we think is what we are. We become what we are by what we think. Is that not what God's saying here in Romans 12, 1 and 2? When he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that he presents your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. This younger generation as a whole cannot tell you what or how they are to live, how they are to dress, what kind of music they should listen to, whether they should be in church or not, because they don't listen. What we hear will affect us, negative or positive. A transformation is an inward change that produces an outward change. If you've had an inward change, there will be an outward showing of that. When God saved me, there was a change. And the people at IBM said, I'll give him a little time. We've had his time before. And what they were saying was right. But Christians are a peculiar type of people. I'm not talking about in looks. I'm not talking about in dress. They are peculiar that if they read it or hear it from the Word of God, they tend to believe it. Now, how faithful you are to the Lord will depend on whether you practice it. I believe there are marriages that break up because one or the other is unfaithful. And I believe that they can still love that other person. But what kind of love? It's not a japa love. It's a fellow love. Man, you look good today. I think I love you today. Reminds me when we first started dating. But that a japa love, they'd be in the hospital and look like death warmed over. Your love. Am I preaching? Amen. See, a biologist, you know, one who studies biology and the changing of things, cannot change a caterpillar into a butterfly. It has to come from the inside. You follow me? So it is the Christian life. That's when you have a husband, a wife, a child, grandchild, best friend. And they had a great revival. They made a profession of faith, and they're on fire for the first couple weeks, first couple months. But then it simmers down. But we used to heat our house by wood when I was at home, and it's some good heat. But you got to keep adding, you got to keep adding wood or coal or whatever you're burning. To be a good Christian, a useful Christian that will influence family, friends, you got to keep putting a little dose of this in your brain. If there's one thing this preacher is so fed up with, is people cursing around me and then saying, oh, I'm sorry, preacher, that slipped out. No, it didn't. Don't make it worse by lying. If you curse, you're going to curse. Oh, can it happen? Oh, yeah, it's happened. I'm talking about as a way of life, when you curse, you curse. When you lie, you lie. When you're unfaithful, you're unfaithful. Until there's a change. Isaiah 26, verse 3 said, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I often wonder, and I've got no way of knowing, how many Christians keep Christ in their mind all week or just on Sunday? But Word of God says, you know, that that we got to, the Lord will, in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. See, we are what we think on constantly. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 in the Word of God, God says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know what Paul was saying to the church of Philippi? Keep your mind on the Lord. Each day, you get up and you walk, thank you, God. Because there's millions across this nation that can't get up on their own. That's right. It don't have to be a measure. I lay down Monday night on my bed, going to rest a few moments. It was only about 6:30, quarter to 7. I ate supper and so I'm going to rest. Next thing I know, I woke up and something was running out of my nose. I got up and it was all on my bed, and I went to the bathroom and it followed me there. And my nose bled and bled and bled and bled. Finally got it stopped. Well, they thought they did, and 4 or 5 hours later, I went and had to go back. Why do you say that? You don't know how bad you're going to need the great healer 1 minute from now. Sure. Amen. We think a little selfishly. I mean, how many of y'all have ever had a nosebleed? Probably most of you had a nosebleed. I've had a nosebleed, but I didn't have a nosebleed that would bleed for hours. What was God telling me? Until something happens to you, you really don't get the hump of it. You don't have to have a heart attack to need God. You don't have to have cancer to need God. Song that I used to sing, I can't even walk without even holding my hand. I walked in here under my own power, under the watch care of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, transformation is an inward change that produces an outward change. That's what I had many, many years ago when God saved me. It started on the inside. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, you know, God gives us a list of things to occupy. You know, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are. And then he lists those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. If we would spend as much time, and I'm talking to me, if we would spend enough time on thanking God for how good he is to you and I believe it's changed our lives. Because all you got to do, you got to have a spiritual understanding instead of saying, why me? Why not me? Now, it doesn't mean that Steve likes his eye the way it is and he's had all this problem, but, you know, he can get all consumed with himself and he says, why me, Lord? And you keep hollering that soon enough and your faith in God will cease or decrease. But why not me, Lord? What is so special about me? Outside of Jesus, my friend, there's nothing. You're just like this pastor. This body is a sinful. It's my enemy. But yet, if we would pamper our spiritual life like we do our bodies, you know what would happen? A revival would break out. Sad to say, the average mind is like a toilet. Keeps it clean. It needs constant flushing with godly thoughts, much prayer, much scripture, and much grace. And I don't ask you to do what I do or you ask me to do what you do, but I've got to be reminded. So if you was to leave here and go over to my desk, I have a book of sayings, 365 sayings, that reminds me that I need God. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need me. He can take this water bottle, raise it up, and cause it to do what I do. But I can't even walk without him holding my hand. We need him.
Amen.
So, sad to say, as we said, the average man, it's just, don't think the way it ought to think. So, we want to look briefly, we want to look at the three minds. There are three types of minds mentioned in Scripture. You have one of them. There is a natural man. There is a carnal man. And then there is a spiritual man. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Notice what God says. He says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritual discerned. We don't have any trouble remembering a joke or what somebody told you that, do you know Sister Brenda, the sister so-and-so? Do you know what she's doing? And I'm not picking on Brenda, I didn't use any. But, you know, she would remember that a lot easier than, I'm going to give you a quote. You know why? Because our whole body is our enemy. Amen. See, so that's why God said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I don't care how smart you are. You people come in. I've had parents as I go to the house and talk to them about their kids. They're an A student, but yet they can't remember anything that I teach them about the Bible. Well, because their body is against the Bible. Amen. You ever ask a teenager what my favorite book is? If they look and say, Mommy, this is my favorite book, you'd probably pass out. But I'll tell you why it's not their favorite book. Because it's not ours. I read my favorite book. Y'all know, you can pray for me. I'm a George Jones fan. I just pray that his profession of faith he made in latter life, I believe he's saved, because I like to walk around with old Jones. And I remember his songs without any trouble. But boy, I struggle to remember the Old Testament. You know why? Because this body is my enemy. I got to keep my body under subjection. Amen. A lot of people are unhealthy because they don't eat right. They're unhealthy spiritually because they don't eat right. So the natural man. This is a non-Christian. He has not a spiritual appetite for the things of God. He cannot comprehend spiritual truth. He is dead in trespasses and sins, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. He may be outwardly religious, morally clean, but cannot comprehend the Christian life. His thoughts will be what is right in his own eyes, situation, ethic, humanism. The natural man thinks whatever comes natural to a lost person. And you know what comes natural to the lost person? Me, number one. When you're lost, you think about one person, you and somebody that can benefit you. Well, it's sort of the same way when you're saved, but the objects change. I love Jesus because he's the only one that can save me. I love my church because that's where I go to learn about him, what I should do and should not do, and why I should or should not do it. God tells us, this is the non-Christians. He may be outwardly religious, morally clean, but cannot comprehend the Christian life. We are so blind that we believe that if somebody, knows they got to be saved, they look how much Bible they know. Well, the next is a carnal mind. That's a worldly Christian. Romans 8:7. Romans the 8th chapter and the 7th verse. God says in 8:7, he says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It can't. Because the carnal mind, you can't think godly things and worldly things and expect to be a faithful child of God. I could tell you a joke right now and you would remember it for a while. Not going out on you or anybody else, you know. How many scriptures did the pastor use Wednesday night? Did he use any? See, carnal simply means of the flesh. The carnal mind is a saved person who lives for the flesh. The church at Corinth was full of carnal Christians. You know what Paul called them? Babies. They're babies. Full-grown body controlled by a baby. I don't think my children or my grandchildren are any different than any of y'all's. They're selfish little dudes. You would think that when you grow up, you get married, you got a family, that you would get out of that. But most of you, just like the lady I talked to this week, she said, well, I'll quote to you what she said. She said, I listen to you on sermon audio, and when I get done, I ask why. I said, do you know why? Because you prove from the Bible what you say. And I'd really be worried about me if it didn't bother me. Because when you read out of the Bible, you know it's true, and I find an excuse not to do it. That's an honest, carnal Christian. The Christian with a carnal mind is not satisfied in Christ alone. He chases other things, amusements, delights, rather than the things of God. He is quarrelsome, touchy, often is the source of church problems. He has a feeble digestion and cannot get his own food spiritually. Deep scriptures do not interest him. You know why most people don't like the book of Revelation? We're studying the first seven churches on Wednesday night, and one of our members came to me and she said, I've heard the book of Revelation, but the guy that taught it, he went through a chapter or two in 30 minutes, and sometimes you don't go but a couple of verses. I said, but don't you hate that? I mean, sit there and sit down in 35, 40 minutes and only cover two verses. I mean, I cover more than that. I mean, whoever can do that in, you know. You follow what I'm saying? We watch some little stupid program that makes you laugh and then you wonder, it wasn't really funny. That's why they have the life in background, because they know you ain't got enough sense to know when it's funny. So if you hear somebody else laugh, and you laugh. Why did I say that? You've got to live so that other people know that God's word is number one. That's what I make my decisions with. Deep scriptures do not interest him. There's very little difference, if any, between the natural man and the carnal-minded man. He says profess to be saved. And sometimes they are. Now, if you believe anything I've said in the last 5 minutes, then you know why I believe what I do about the bride of Christ. You think a carnal Christian going to be in the bride of Christ? Prove that to me and I'll buy you dinner. You know why? It's not there. It's not there. The law sees no difference and have no conviction when around a carnal mind Christian. The carnal mind needs to get right with God, be serious, and fill itself with Scripture. Won't look up all of them I wrote down, but look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1 through 4. And I, brethren, notice who he's talking to, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. That means you profess to be saved a long time, you still can't take it. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? A carnal Christian is only thing difference between them and a lost person is that they talk to talk as far as outward appearance. Because this lady, and I think the world of her, she's just a sweet lady. And she said, we're different. And I said, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. She said, if I can, I will, Pastor. I'm lost. Tell me how to be saved. She said, just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you think the natural man can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ without any of the Spirit of God being involved? She was wrong. We don't have the ability to believe without the Spirit of God. That's why Jesus said, it's expedient and necessary I go away. If I go not away, I won't send the Spirit. So every one of us who are saved got the Spirit living in us. If you're saved and you know to do good and do it not, it bothers you. So what do? We stay away. You know. If you're trying to quit smoking, you don't want your best friend to be a smoker. If you're trying to quit drinking, you don't want your best friend to be a drinker. If you curse, you don't want to be around people that curse. And if you're saved, you want to be around people who believe the word of God, who loves the Lord, loves the church, and is willing to tell anybody how to be saved if they get the opportunity. I'm not talking about pushing yourself on them, pressing on them. No, if you suppose a witness to somebody, God's got that person ready waiting for you. But we're waiting for a sign. I tell you what the sign is. They're lost, and they could die at any moment. The spiritual-minded, spiritual Christian. 1 Corinthians 2:15. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15, we're about finished. We may go over 5 minutes, but whatever you got at home on the pod will keep, I promise you. God says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15, he says, but he that is spiritual, judge of all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. See, I'm probably a little different, a little weird or whatever, but I've got a, when I'm shopping, and the first time my granddaughter was with me and I seen this jacket, I said, man, I really like that jacket. And so I walked off and she said, Papa, ain't you going back and get that jacket? I said, no. I think that jacket's only worth X number of dollars. I don't care how bad it was. If it goes above what I'm willing to pay, think it's worth, I'm bad. He said, well, that's stupid. Well, I'm happy, so leave me there. See, carnal, God said in Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. But the spiritual mind, God said in 1 Corinthians 2:15, he says, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. What does that mean? I gave you a pencil and paper and said, answer this question. When you get done, turn it in. I'll have prayer and we'll leave. What does that mean? But he that is spiritual judges of all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. My opinion doesn't count if it's not the same as the Bible. But I don't believe that. I don't like that. I don't feel comfortable doing that. You can take that up with the Lord. He's not going to change the Bible so you can be happy. So as we close, if you're wondering why I've got so many sheets, I got up this morning and enlarged my notes because I couldn't see very well. But it's, as the songwriter said, it's getting better now. The longer I preach, the clearer it gets. We close with Philippians 2:5 when God said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know what Jesus said? Not my will, but the Father's. If you think the thoughts Jesus did, you will live the way Jesus did. We are what we think. We are what we think. You will live the way Jesus did, to do what we must think. Scriptures, meditate upon them. Because of that, our minds will be going forward and not be in neutral, and will not have a chance to go backward or backslide. It's a process. Life is a process. Morgan would probably lose it if, when that baby comes out and they wipe it off and put it in the bassinet or whatever they put it in, and next thing you know, that baby's raising up and walking back and forth. Lord, what has happened? It's a miracle. No, she grows one step at a time. Because if it's one statement I've heard so many times, it just makes me shiver. If I knew the Bible the way you knew the Bible, well, it's easy. Study it for 55 years. Study it for 1 year. Study it for a month. Study it for an hour. We watch television for 4 or 5 hours. It does nothing except it entertains a flesh that is God's enemy anyway. But we can't read the Bible for 15 minutes. He said, but it hurts me to read. Do I have to tell you how many different copies I've got of the Bible? CD, cassette. You know, it's just. So the spiritual-minded man needs to make sure he does not get satisfied. Our last scripture, Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, why. I have trouble finding Hebrews. God said he wouldn't change it. But he said in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, notice what God says. He said here in the 12th verse of Hebrews chapter 5, he said, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." You've been saved 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You ought to be able to take strong meat. You ought to want strong meat. I don't know what baby food tastes like. I've never ate it. But I tell you one thing, I'm not going to a restaurant and say, "I'll take a jar of beefsteak baby food." Did you have any carrots? I like carrots. Why? We don't eat baby food anymore. Baptists need to get by John 3:16 and John 5:24. Paul told young Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved." Unto who? Unto God. Song leader, pianist, drum.